right, everybody hold their Bibles up. Let's make our confession of faith. We're going to say it loud. We're going to say it strong on three. One, two, three. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, man of God, it's good to have you with us, man. I know I put you on the spot, and I had no plans of doing that. I think yesterday we didn't do anything but just talk about the word and those kind of things and what it takes to be successful in these days and in these times. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to have a conversation like it's just me and you talking.
Amen.
And they just end on our conversation. And I think, as we look the days and the times that we're in, and, you know, I don't really do much talking about the pandemic and all and the virus. Some people spend all their time doing that. I teach the word because the word produces faith. But the day and time that we're in, there's some things that it takes. It takes faith. It takes faithfulness. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. And as you do that, it produces the favor of God on your lives. And so let's jump in and just start with faith. And let's kind of talk about faith. And I'm I have to make sure I take cues and pauses so I can let you jump in. So, you know, I always tell people, don't wait till I get done talking. You just jump right in when something comes. The Bible teaches us that the just that we live by faith. And I think that is a core conviction of mine, that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, man, I'm going to live by faith. I'm not moved by what I see. Only by what I believe. I believe the word. If everybody else is backing up, Mac going forward. You got it? I'm always going to move forward in faith because the just, we live by faith. And to the degree that we will watch this, stay in faith, you got it? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what's going on, God will produce some things in our lives.
And I like that. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's it.
And that's why we as believers, we must remain in faith no matter what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And it's not based on, like the man of God said, what we see.
Right.
It's based on what we believe. And if I believe what the word of God says, even in my lean season, I must still stay focused.
That's it.
And a lot of times in our lean season, we get distracted because what other people does, and we want to take the road of the least resistance.
Right.
But we should never take the road of the least resistance. We should take the road that God has already planned. For the Bible says he has prepared, he's already planned the way for us.
Come on, Doc.
And we as believers must follow God's plan. Even when nobody else wants to follow, you must stay focused.
Oh, my God, today.
I dare you to look at somebody and say, even nobody else is following, I must still stay focused.
Yes.
Don't worry about who's not going the way you're going.
Right.
You follow the voice of the man of God, and whatever God's saying through the set man is what you follow. Don't worry about nobody else, because they will take you a whole nother way. But the man of God says, this is what thus says the Lord, and we're going to stand on what God says in spite of it all.
Oh, my God, today. I think I made the right call this morning. You know, the writer says, "For as for me and my house,
that's it.
We gonna serve the Lord.
That's it.
We gonna live by faith.
Yes.
We gonna keep walking holy. You got it? Because we live in a culture where everybody think you can do anything that you want to do. And see, the tough thing about that is, in the end, you gonna find out that was not the right way to go. You got it? And if normally, Doc, if everybody's going that way, that's probably not the right way to go. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But to the degree I will walk out this word and make it up in my mind that we gonna live for God, we gonna walk by faith, we gonna see God do some amazing things.
And too many people are taking the wide gate.
Yes, it. That's
and
it.
God says, no, that's not the way. It's
that's
the narrow gate.
Straight and narrow.
It's that straight and narrow. And
yes.
So many people want to go wide. This is why there's so many marriages under attack.
Yep.
This is why so many ministries are getting frustrated.
That's it.
So many pastors are quitting.
Right.
Because everybody want to take the wide gate.
Right.
And we get frustrated. What I learned in this season during this pandemic is no matter what, God still has never changed.
That's it.
And if God never changed, then we must stop changing.
That's it.
We must stay focused on the things of
Come
God.
On.
And I don't care how tight it is. I don't care how frustrated. I'm going to stay married. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to stay saved.
Come on.
I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy.
Come on, come on,
I don't
come
care
on.
What's coming my
come
way.
On.
I don't care who's trying to come in my
come
life.
On.
The devil is a liar. What God said in the beginning still stands right now. And no weapon formed against me going to prosper. And you got to believe that no weapon, I don't care what comes my way, I don't care if it's an attack on my finances, attack on my mind, attack in my marriage, I'm going to still stay in faith and trust God no matter what.
No matter what. No matter. Let every man and every devil be a lie and let God be true. I don't care what the doctor says because I serve Dr. Jesus. He is Jehovah Rofika. He is the Lord thy God that healeth me. Yes. And even now in this room, healing virtue is flowing through your body from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, driving out everything that is not like God. Somebody shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We're going to live by faith.
That's it.
We're going to walk this word out, and we are going to see results. I was telling you yesterday, I love living in little old New Bern. I do. I just, you know how it is that guys, I was telling you, asked me to come all over the country, and I love to travel and those kind of things, but what I love more than anything, I love pastoring this church.
That's it.
Just like you love pastoring your church.
Yes.
I love being here. I love studying the word. I love giving the people the word of God. And what I love more than anything is if you'll take that word we teach and apply it in your life, you are going to get results. You got it. That's why you can't listen to what everybody says on the job. You can't listen to negative people. Hello, somebody. You can't even listen to other Christians that start backing up. You got to make it up in your mind that the man of God said it, that the woman of God said it. I'm going to stand on that because they speak as the voice of God. And if I do that, I'm going to see God give me results every time.
And that's what I love so much is that those that are stand faithful and not fearful.
That's good. They stand
faithful and not fearful, and they're trusting God through the process because they believe the voice of their leader.
Right.
What amazes me, though, in the body of Christ in this season is how many people listen to others but don't listen to their set man and woman of God.
Wow.
That's a problem.
Right.
They talk about what another pastor said, what another pastor don't pray for them.
Right.
The pastor didn't help them when they was on their drug addiction.
Right.
The pastor didn't help them when they were stepping out on their family.
Come on.
Then you got the nerve. Let me say this way. Let me be calm. You got the audacity to sit there and talk about what another pastor said that's not assigned over your soul.
Right. That's good.
See, and that's the problem I have is that God has placed pastors to watch over your soul.
That's it.
He says, I'm not only going to have them to watch over your soul, but to make sure you lack or want for anything.
Right.
But then you have the nerve to listen to another pastor and don't even respect the one God sent in your life.
Wow. He says, I will give you pastors according to my heart that will lead you with knowledge and understanding.
That's it.
You got it? And whether it's your members, my members, we say my members, we know they all belong to God. But the thing about it is, when you said something that I haven't really thought about, but thank God for every voice.
Yes.
Thank God for every voice.
Yes.
But the voice of your man and woman of God has to be the voice that you heed to.
Yes.
It's got to be so many times one of our members will call us, text us, and say, we went through this. Pastor, I heard your voice.
I heard ladies say this.
And that's the key. You got it? Because what happens is, God, watch this, whether we realize or not, God has set the people, you got it,
in the
body as it pleases him and not pleases them. Does that make sense?
That's right.
And to the degree, we just say, man, and we don't, thank God we don't have this problem. You got a great church. I got a great church.
Amen.
But sometimes it's important to say this because
to.
The enemy will try to kind of pull them away.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't yank it, but he does it little by little. Sometimes he does it with somebody. Sometimes he does it with negative things on TV and those kind of things. But the voice of your set man and woman of God, it really makes a difference, especially in challenging times.
That's it.
You got it. See, the Bible says that don't be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. And I think that is the key, that we continue to do the word even in tough times.
That's right.
It's easy to do the word when you got a pocket full of money, you got money in the bank, everything is going well. I do the word. You got it? But when things get tough, you still have to do what the word, you still have to give the tithe. You got it? You still have to come and be faithful, you know? And then sometimes it'll flip.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it sometimes when people are not doing good, they'll run to God.
That's right.
But then when they're doing good, they'll run away from God. But listen, on my best day, I need Jesus.
Come on.
On my best day, I need God.
Be instant in season.
There you go.
And out of season with all long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime we're going to have to go through. And one thing I learned, and again, I just want to encourage those that are watching and those in the sanctuary, follow the voice of your leader to the end of their conversation.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're speaking, your response is, I'm going to listen to what you say. It may don't feel good, but it's working for your good.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to understand it don't feel good right now. I'm upset right now. I can't believe they said it. But then you find out a month later that, man, what they said is what I needed, because it slowed down the infiltration of the enemy. Do y'all know that when your man and woman of God is speaking in your life, watch this, Satan is upset because he thought he had you, but because of the word of faith, watch this, ministered over your life, now he can't sabotage your future like he thought he could, because just last week you were somebody that was not in faith trying to pull you away from grace,
right,
because of the presence of God in your man and woman of God's mouth that spoke over your life, imps and angels, watch this, was released. Imps was released from the devil, angels released from God, and God says, I'm not going to let it happen on their watch.
Yes.
Because they prayed too much long for you.
Yes.
They believe in that your family going to make it.
Yes.
They believe in that situation going to shift.
Yes.
And God says, it's by faith it's going to manifest. And when your leader is talking, you got to believe without a shadow of a doubt, but it's God speaking through them that's going to increase your future. Same grace on them.
Somebody shout, I receive. Man, I got my mind made up. I got my heart fixed. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to walk this word out. I'm going to live holy. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm going to live a good life that he already prearranged and made ready for me to live. The good life already belongs to us.
That's it.
And so, and to the degree, and I think this is the key. You have to have a conviction to walk out this word,
yes,
no matter what.
Yes.
You got it? Because sometimes walking out this word don't always feel good. But it's what we got to do. So the Bible teaches us to forgive, right? Sometimes it don't always feel good forgiving somebody, because there's times that people really did you wrong. But you got to release them and let it go anyways. Because watch this, forgiving is not just about releasing them, but releasing you. You got it? Because God's got too much for you. He's got too much destiny. He's got too much vision. He's got too much purpose. And the enemy wants you to hold all those grudges and all those things so you can get bitter, so God can't do what he really wants to do in your life.
And you got to be a real man and woman of God in this season to be still pastoring.
That's it.
Because you found out, watch this, the same way y'all found out who your friends were, we found out who the members. I'm telling you, we got to be honest, is that you really find out who really got your back. Pastor, it's easy to say I got your back when everything is going well.
Right.
But how about when things start looking dim and you don't know, but God's speaking to your leader. Mm. And you got to trust them when you can't track them.
Mm.
You got to trust your man and woman of God when you can't track. You don't see how God is moving, but you know it's according to faith. And you got to trust God. And I'm telling you, one of the toughest moments for pastoring is in the midst of pandemic, because we never knew what was going to come out of it.
Right.
But when you walk by faith, you already know it's going to be well.
Right.
And so I've been telling myself ever since the pandemic, it's going to be better than ever. Because, see, I got to tell myself that.
Yep.
Because I can't let what I see determine what I say.
Right.
I don't have nobody want to talk back to me right now.
Right,
but
right.
I can't let what I see determine what I say. I got to still speak faith-filled words when there's no sense from evidence,
right,
when it don't make no sense
that's
at all,
it.
When it seems like everything is falling, I'm still saying, blessed be the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. I got to make that decision that I'm going to stay flat-footed and teach the word of God,
right,
in spite of who shows up, who don't show up, what people got to say, because if you do it right, if you do it wrong, people can still complain.
Right.
But when you do it God's way, you're going to be okay.
Oh, my God. I love it. The just shall live by faith. And we really have set the example during this pandemic, because we stayed in faith.
Yes.
We weren't moved by faith.
Right.
We had to close our churches down.
Yep.
6, 7, 8, 9 months. But the thing about it is, ultimately, we are trusting in God.
Yep.
Ultimately, we know that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And I believe because we set that example as men of God, you got it was able to flow to the people of God. And they say, just like my man of God stay in faith, I'm going to stay in faith. Just like my man of God says, nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. There's nothing missing, nothing. And that is the power of connection.
That's it.
You got
it?
You know, God told Abram at that time, to go. You got it? And God, you know, notice the funny thing is God didn't tell Lot to do anything, but Lot recognized that there was something on Abraham. And if I just stay connected to him, and later on the Bible talks about how Abraham had herds and cattle and sheep. And it said, and Lot also, there's a power when you are connected. And if you stay connected, watch this, same grace on this pulpit flows over into your life.
That's the key. And I'm telling you, that's where it is right there. When you walk in my faith, and especially being in a charged faith environment like this, you don't have no other choice but to win.
That's it.
You have no other choice but to win. Because as the word of God is being illuminated or magnified, you're going to see situations in your life, watch this, that was of the enemy shrink. And that God promised, watch this, be magnified.
Amen. Amen.
And it's going to come through you glorifying God. As the woman of God is up doing praise and worship, and as the team is doing praise and worship, and you enter into that presence of praise and worship, you're going to start seeing things that thought it had just fall off you.
My God.
It's going to be like a shout out. Y'all know that shout out? You get a stain in your clothes, and you spray that stuff on your clothes, and then the next thing you know, that stain is removed.
Right.
That's what's going to happen every time you come to a place of worship. Yes. When you're giving God praise, some of y'all right now need to give God praise right now, because there's something you came in with that God don't want you to leave with. God said, if you just shout it out,
shout
if you just
out.
Open up your mouth
hey!
And give me praise, I'll heal your heart, I'll deliver your
My
child,
God.
I'll bring that thing in your favor. But you got to give God praise in advance, not when it show up. You got to praise God like you got it already.
Oh my God, my God, my
That's
God.
That's what faith
God.
Is.
Hey! Woo! Somebody say shout it out.
Shout it out.
My God, my God. Well, I mean, boy, I tell you, man, God was right. He was right on the money today. I hadn't even told you or even given you a hint. I went and took my mic off and came back. You weren't there. I was like, wait a minute, where'd the man of God go? And so, I think that you know, you hit something. When it's time for worship, mm-hmm. that's not time to spectate.
Ooh.
That's time to participate.
Yes.
You got
yes.
it. No, you know, what happens is when we begin to worship God, you know, no one has to tell me to lift my hands. I understand that the glory of God is in the house, and I'm going to lift my hands and begin to worship God. And as I begin to worship God, things start happening in the spirit realm that will
that's
manifest
right.
in the natural. If I, because what happens is when I begin, I like to tell people that worship becomes our reality.
Right.
It's in that time of worship that is, if I'm just focused on Jesus and nothing else, that all of my problems get really small and my God gets really big. And I begin to understand that God can do anything
yes.
but fail.
Yes.
God is, he's the most magnificent awesomeness. I don't know if awesomeness is a word. You got it? But he is the author and the finisher of my
yes.
faith. You
yes.
got it? And he doesn't want anybody to get his glory, and to the degree that I will give him all the glory and worship, the Bible says that he leans over, you got it, and because he's got to see who in the world is worshiping me like that, because watch this, it stops being our praise and it starts being his glory, and he's got to lean over to see who it is, and watch this, and when the praises go up, the blessings come down, and the anointing comes down, and the power comes out, and it drives everything out that is not like God.
And every time you worship,
every time,
God becomes bigger.
Yes, yes.
And your problems become smaller.
That's it. That's
I'm going to say it again. Every time you worship,
every time,
God becomes bigger.
Yes.
Your problems, your situation becomes smaller. I dare somebody in here ready to shrink a problem right now and give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to tell you, you better give God some praise right now. Some of you can't
hey.
Let the devil steal your joy. Right now, you hear the man of God say, God's becoming bigger. He's been illuminated, bigger
yes.
than your situation.
Yes.
And every situation and circumstance, every plot and scheme of the enemy
hey.
Is being resolved right now in Jesus' name. It's just because you worship.
Yes, yes.
He inhabits the praises
of his people. Somebody
he's living there now.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. The Bible said that he inhabits the praises of his people. What people don't understand is that means that as you praise, God steps over into your praise, and it stops being your praise, and it starts being his glory. And as it becomes his glory, your eyes have not seen, and neither have your ears heard, and neither has it entered into your heart, the things that God has been preparing and plotting and setting this into motion, and this, and all he's been waiting on is your praise. All he's been waiting on is your hallelujah. All he's been waiting on is, God, I trust you. All he's been waiting on is, God, whatever you're going to do in me, just do it. And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes a miracle. And boom, there goes the supernatural. Because the glory of God has stepped over to your praise.
Somebody shout, praise,
praise.
Is an indicator,
indicator
that I'm ready,
that
for,
I'm ready
my next.
For my next.
Y'all missed it.
Oh,
y'all
my
missed
God, my God,
every
my
time
God.
You give God praise, you're letting God know I'm ready for my upgrade.
Yeah.
I'm ready for my now season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you promised me, I'm ready for
hey,
right
hey,
now.
Hey, hey,
because
hey.
I'm going to praise you in advance. Not when it show up, but I'm going to praise you like I lost my mind.
Woo.
Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I wish I had a praiser in this place.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh, somebody praise him. Praise him till heaven gets the news. Praise him till the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Praise him till that devil who's been hanging around has to make up his mind, I got to get up out of here, because there is a power and an anointing that is in my praise. Oh my God.
The devil thought he had you until you broke out into praise. Hey. He thought he had you until you got your dance. He thought he had you until you got your shout. Glory be to God that calls me to triumph. I got the victory right now. What God promised me is already manifested. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved based on what the word of God says.
Just
somebody
praise.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God, my God. My God, my God, my God. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to leap for joy. I'm going to dance. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to let, what the Bible says, with everything that's within me, I'm going to let everything that's within me out of me so the glory of God can fill me up. It's going to change my marriage. It's going to change my money. It's going to change my bank account. It's going to change my environment. It's going to change everything on the inside of me. Oh, my God.
Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Let me say it again. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. If you breathe it, it's the mere fact God's still touching you. It's the mere fact God still want to use you. And all you got to do is praise God like you're receiving your breakthrough. You healed already. You delivered already.
Already.
He made a way already.
Already.
I'm not saying tomorrow. It's already,
already done.
All you got to do is say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I glorify you. Lord, I magnify you. I'm going to look to the hills which cometh my help, knowing all my help comes from the Lord.
Oh, my God. Even now, while the anointing here, things are shifting. The winds of change are blowing in our direction. There's some things that are happening in the spirit that are manifesting in the supernatural. Chains are being broken. Burdens are being removed. Yokes are being destroyed. You got to make it up in your mind. I can't be moved by what I see, only by what I believe. And I believe the word of God that I have not seen my best days. My best days are ahead of me. I don't care what's been going on in my life. I don't care how old I am. I don't care about any of those things. I'm telling you, my best days are ahead. So I choose to visit my future on the canvas of my imagination of what my life's gonna be like. And my boy, my life looks good. I see debt freedom. I see supernatural always working. I see more money than I had in a long, long time. I see everything paid and paid in full. I see the career that I've been believing for. I see my children getting to the place that I've been believing for. I see that marriage going to the next level. I see everything working out for my good.
I dare you to go ahead and start writing the next chapter of your book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Y'all ain't hear what I just said. See, some of y'all still stuck on the same chapter, but God says time to flip the page. I dare you right now to flip the page and say, Lord, I'm ready for my next. I've been stuck in a yesterday season,
right,
but I got a due season, but I must function in my now season. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God says it's time for you to step out of your yesterday into your now so you can enjoy your next. Y'all just missed what I just said. You still stuck in yesterday because who offended you, who walked away from
Come
you,
on.
Who hurt you.
Come
but God
on.
Says step in your now so you can manifest your next. Some of y'all got a next season, but you're not walking in your now season.
It's next, it's next, it's next. I'm stepping up. I'm forgetting those things which are behind me, and I'm pressing forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling which is in Christ. I got my mind made up. I got my heart fixed that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. I'm not worried about what happened before because I'm looking unto Jesus, the very author and the finisher of my faith. And I know that my best days are ahead because he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward me. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me an expected end, to give me a future and a hope. I don't care what anybody says. Let every man and every devil be a lie, and let God be true. I'm stepping into my next.
Shout next.
Next.
Shout next.
Next.
Shout next.
Next.
It won't be long now. God decrees.
Yeah.
Everything will happen so fast.
Your head will swim. My God.
Like blessing on the hills of the next. Everywhere you look, blessings.
Blessing.
I did it. Look at the sky. Say, don't talk to me because I'm blessed. Don't listen. Don't say nothing to me because I'm blessed. You've been talking about me too long, but baby, I'm blessed.
Yes.
Because everywhere I look, I see blessings.
Blessings.
The blessing of the Lord gonna make you rich and add no sorrow.
Somebody ought to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I'm telling you, there's an anointing in this room to remove every burden and destroy every yoke by the power of God. And I need you to believe right now that things are changing, that things are changing. What was before shall be no more. There's a shift happening. Things are changing. God is blowing in my direction. Watch this. He's leaning in my direction, and everything is working out for my good. You said something, you begin to quote Hebrews, and you said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And you expounded on that. If we go a little further, it says, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the words of God. And we've got to understand that God never allowed what he saw to determine what he said. He saw dark and he saw void, but that didn't bother him. It didn't matter what he said. He said, let there be light, and light showed up. And that's what you got to learn to do. You can't worry about what you see. You can't worry about what it looks like. You can't worry about others, what others are saying. You got to start calling those things that be not as though they were. Quit looking at your bank account and saying, golly. Quit looking at your bank account saying, oh, Lord. You got to look at it and say, oh, my God, I thank you for all those zeros. Oh, my God, I thank you that all my needs are met according to heaven's best. I eat the best. I wear the best. I live in the best. I drive the best. I go first class in life.
And listen, the man of God said, let there be light, and it was light. The question is, where did the light come from?
Come on, come on.
The light came from within. I'm here to prophesy to you guys right now. What you need is already on the inside of you. You looking for stuff on the outside, but it's already on the inside. He gave it to you richly to enjoy. The thing is, you have not tapped into your potential. You got untapped potential that's living on the inside of you that you have not birthed yet. I dare you to look at somebody and say, I'm about to birth some stuff this week. I'm in too much of a faith environment to stand here dormant. I'm pregnant with purpose. Woo! There's something on the inside of me. It has to manifest. I'm no longer moved by what I see, but I'm focused on what the God works in. Where every time God tell me to push, every time I hear the word of God, I gotta push, because there's something on the inside of me that's ready to come out. Stop being moved by what you see.
My God, my God, my God. So I'm gonna stay in an environment of faith.
Yes.
I'm going to quit hanging around negative people. I'm going to quit hanging around people that ain't gotten, who've gotten out of faith. I love them. I appreciate them. But if you've gotten out of faith, I love you. I'm going to pray for you. But watch this. But we can't have fellowship right now. So there might be a relationship that we have with one another, but to be in fellowship is a whole nother thing. And in this day and time, I gotta hang around people of like precious faith. I gotta hang around people who gonna keep believing in spite of. Now people gonna say, well, child, if it wasn't for Nola, I wouldn't have bad. I wouldn't for bad luck. I wouldn't have Nola. Go. Well, I'd better be. If I was you, I'd better be careful. Because you know, times there, that is not the type of people I need to hang out. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. I'm going to meditate day and night on the word. When I wake up, this is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in. As I go through the day, I will lift my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help cometh from the Lord. As I go to bed, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What am I saying? If you will consume yourself with the word of God, it'll drive out everything that's not like God.
The man of God was alluding to that you are a tree planted by the rivers of water. You got to stop so being easily moved and uprooted. Because the reason he plants you by the river of water, so you can have some depth to you. And when you in a dry season, don't worry about it, because where you plant it, y'all missed that. See, when you in a dry season, but you plant it in a place of faith, you don't worry.
Come on,
it won't be long now. Yes. It's just a matter of time. God had you in that season to get some stuff off you.
Yes.
There were some people connected to you. God did not want to go into your next season.
Right.
And so God had to allow some stuff to dry up so they can fall off. I don't have no help in here, but I need to talk to somebody right now. Somebody shout, I need them to dry up so they can fall off. Because God know in your season, you won't release them. So God got to cut them off. And so you in a pruning season, but you looking like you're wounded. You're not wounded.
Right.
You the blessed of the Lord. Don't you worry about who turned their back on you. Don't you worry about who fell away from you.
Yeah.
You got to stay in faith.
Yeah.
Because when you come to this house
and you hear the word of God and you get into a place of worship, all you're doing is reestablishing your relationship with God. And God said, you're in a season right now where I'm about to blow on you. Woo! And things about to happen. God's leaning in your direction. I dare you to say, God, lean on me, lean on me. Whatever pressure on me, whatever weight on me, is for his eternal glory. God has a season that he's not going to allow you to be shaken or unmoved in. You better get ready, because it's your time, it's your season. Woo! And it's your turn.
Get ready, 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 get ready. Somebody say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for my next level. I'm ready for my blessing. I'm ready for my good report. I'm ready for the next house, the next car. I'm ready for what you have for me.
The man of God alluded to how you're in a pruning season, and you got to understand that sometimes, watch this now, you got to understand that God has to subtract before he adds in your life. The Bible says that the way a man goes up is he has to first come down. And so don't try to hold on to anybody that God is trying to separate you from. Don't call them no more. Don't text them no more. Don't try to take them out to lunch anymore. Don't try to wonder why we separated. You got to understand that God is separating the wheat from the tares, as the case may be, because watch this, because where you're going, you can't take excess baggage.
Listen,
we could do this all day, Doc. When the anointing is in the room, he said, and the burden shall be taken from off of their neck because of the anointing. I'm here to tell you, it is the anointing that makes the difference. It is. Listen, we didn't plan this. Hello, somebody. You see how this thing is just flowing? You think, this ain't me, this ain't him, this is the anointing that is on our lives. And watch this, and you got to learn how to receive that. You got to learn how to receive that. Y'all sit down. Sit down. Because I want to get the favor in a few minutes. And but Doc, we done went 30 minutes preaching back and forth. Y'all receive that? Anybody getting blessed in the house on today? Okay, we only got a few minutes, and so I think you got it. I think you understand the power of connection. I think you understand the importance of living by faith. I think you understand that there's some things that you got to separate from. You understand? I think you understand now. You got that God is doing some things in my life that might seem, watch this, uncomfortable, but it's gonna work out everything for my good. So we got to stay in an environment of faith. Let's take 90 seconds and talk about faithfulness. The Bible says that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to understand that I've got to be faithful not some of the time, but I've got to be faithful all the time. And this is not a legalistic thing. You got it? When it comes to faithfulness, we got to understand this is a scriptural thing that God wants me to be faithful. Now, I can use a whole bunch of people in this church because we got a lot of faithful people in this church. You got it? And so sometimes when I call somebody out, I tell them, hey, now don't get jealous, you know, because I could call out anybody. But I was talking to you about my brother Joe. And he and Janie started the ministry with me and Lady. It was just the four of us. You got it? And I was explaining to Bishop James that we about 14 years old. And my brother Joe, he comes to, now he's my brother. So he could just feel like, well, I'm the pastor's brother, so I could just do what I want to. He don't feel like that. You got it? So I was telling Bishop that he comes to every 9 o'clock, you got it, and he worships. And then he comes to every 11 o'clock, and he serves. And there is a power in being faithful. You got it? You know, when Joe first started real estate, one confession that we said we were going to make is that he goes to the closing table often. And so I haven't really been on Facebook much. Too much drama on Facebook. Everybody going back and forth. I go on to make my little thing, and then I'm gone. You got it? So I was about to make a post yesterday. Some of the nieces came by. I took a picture of them. I just wanted to throw it up real quick. And I saw Joe. Congratulations on somebody closing again. You got it? And then the Lord reminded me, because it is a faithful man or woman, as the case may be, that abounds with blessings. And so just talk a little bit as the importance of remaining faithful. Watch this. Even when things start going good for you.
I love that. I got a Joe in my church. one of my adjutants, Alma Burris, he's same thing. He's been looking at my faithfulness. He'd always struggled. He always wanted to be married. Mm-hmm. And it was not until he became faithful and satisfied on the things of God.
Wow.
Faithful and satisfied.
That's good. That's
you got to be faithful, and you got to be satisfied, content where you are.
That's it.
And stop looking at what everybody else have or what they're doing.
Right.
Let me fast forward. So now he's been in an apartment for the last, got married, my wife and I married him and his wife almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
They've been living in an apartment all his life, apartment. Nobody in his family have a house.
Okay.
And so the Spirit of the Lord told me, same thing, he sell homes, and he was struggling. And the Lord, Spirit of the Lord told me to lay my hands on him and tell him he'll sell 2 to 3 houses a month. And I laid hands on him. Now he's selling about 6 or 7 a month.
Wow.
And he's selling 500,000 plus houses.
Okay.
And so he says, my faithfulness in my set place and serving and sowing is causing me to enter into my reaping season.
That's good.
And so now he's reaping. So he's now built a $640,000 house that he's moving out of an apartment to move him, his family in. Y'all miss what I just said. He's moving from an apartment into a house.
Wow.
And so he says, and so every time he get an opportunity, he says, I understand about my faithfulness. And I begin to tell him, I says, do you understand what you're becoming? You're becoming a skyscraper.
Right.
He said, what do you mean? I said that when they build a skyscraper, the first thing you have to do is go down.
That's it.
And if you know about it, you got to go down, I think it's at least 100 feet. And then they have to put these concrete pillars in. And so you don't see anything yet because how far you got to go down.
Right.
But the thing is that now because you become a skyscraper, everything that's above the surface is supported by something under the surface.
I'm trying to tell you
right now, you're going through, but you stay faithful and be faithful in the things of God. And you'll start seeing your foundation be so deep and so strong that you would not be easily moved. And then God say, I'm going to make sure I secure you by putting hurricane anchors on you. And so somebody said, I need you to say, I'm hurricane proof. Because that's what your faithfulness do. It makes you hurricane proof. And that when storms come, that no one to shake everybody else, it don't shake you.
That's good. You know, having talked about going down and coming up, that's why when you get committed to tithing and giving offerings and stuff, and if you don't see it right away, you got to understand that that seed goes down and it takes root.
That's right.
You got it? You got to go through the process. In Mark says, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. And so sometimes, people that have never tithed before and they start, they want tomorrow, you got it, to see it happen. You got it? And so, to the degree that you will just start, if I serve, if I sow, if I sacrifice, I'll see the supernatural. That's my life testimony. If I serve, everybody say, if I sow, if I sacrifice, I'll see the supernatural. And that is the key. If you will just do those things, be willing to go through the process and not try to hurry up God, you'll see God do amazing things.
And you can't eat the seed.
Oh.
This is the key. A lot of times you see the blade and you spend the blade. The blade is to protect the ear.
Right.
And the ear is to protect your harvest.
Mm,
and so
good.
The blade comes up to show you your potential.
Okay.
The ear comes up, but it's not ready yet.
Right.
It's not until the ear opens and you see the corn.
Right.
But the thing is, as soon as we see the blade, we pull the blade up.
Yeah.
And then you got to leave that blade in because that blade going to be your potential seed.
That's it.
And that's how you're going to get your next harvest. You got to stop pulling the blade up and let the blade mature into the ear. And that's what we got to understand is that maybe you have not seen anything happen this week. Mm-hmm. Maybe nothing manifested this month. But you keep on waking up and going to sleep.
Yes.
You keep waking up and going to sleep. And one day you're going to wake up and you won't see the seed that you sowed yesterday come up. You'll see the seed you sowed last year.
Oh, my God.
Because some of y'all got harvests out here, but you don't even know where it is.
That's it.
And you got to stay focused on it. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You got fields out here right now with your harvest in it, but you got upset the last time you sowed it didn't show up. It showed up. You just was out of position.
Yes. Woo! So he talked about the blade and how you can't pluck up the blade. And one way that you can pluck up the blade is with negativity coming out of your mouth.
That's it.
You know, because I'm finally giving my tithe, and then here come a big bill that I didn't know. See, if I wouldn't have paid my tithe because a thought from the enemy came, and you took that thought by saying, when a negative thought comes, you got to cut it off, cast it down, and say what the word says. But if you say that, man, I shouldn't have paid my tithe, you have just plucked up the blade.
And you know what I noticed, man of God? I noticed this. We give the tithe or the first tenth, and we stop.
Mm.
But why are we looking to receive something on what don't belong to us?
That's good.
The first tenth,
it
belongs to God.
Right.
And we mad because I want something to come from what belonged to you.
Mm.
God said, no, you're going to get what comes after what you give me what belonged to me. And so he says tithe and offering. And so, hold on, your tithe is going to sustain you. Right. Your offering is going to get you your wildest dreams. Mm. And so we got to understand God wants to not only give the tithe, but the offering. The tenth belongs to God. Mm. And we mad at God because, no, I wanted to come up. God said, no, that you returned to me. Mm-hmm. What belonged to me. Now, since you returned that to me, what else you got? Mm. We go to the restaurant, we order off the menu, right? And we get, and we pick it. We want steak, we want this, we want that. And then we pick it, and then the server brings us our food.
Right.
Now watch this. They want their money
for
what they gave you.
Right.
And then they want a tip.
Right.
And so you gotta understand, every time you order off the menu at the restaurant, that's like your tithe.
Right.
You gotta give that to them because of what they gave you. But then they're looking for you over and above your tithe to give them the offering. And they don't even let you make the decision. In the kingdom, God says, just give at least 10%, but they want 18% to 22%. And you don't have no problem giving them their 22%, even with bad service.
Mm. But he woke us up this morning.
Here you go.
He started us on our
way.
Come
on, you got it.
It is the least I can do to give back to God what already belongs to him. We got to stop. Somebody give the Lord a big hand praise in this house. Did y'all get blessed this morning? Oh, my God. Let's pray. Father, we magnify you in this place. And we thank you for the anointing that is in this room, here to remove burdens and destroy yokes by the power of God. And so, Father, we thank you how you blessed us over this time. And as the people of God, we say that we received the word. And Father, we thank you that it was good seed that fell onto good ground and is going to produce a harvest in our lives. I know this is a little bit different of a service, but I dare not leave without giving you the opportunity to accept Jesus into your heart. If you're online and you're watching, maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're in the room and you're a visitor and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. So just hang with me for about 2-3 more minutes. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me. And I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9 that if you'll just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All that means is this. You have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins and confess him as the Lord of your life. And so I want to give you the opportunity. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you're a Christian and you just need to repent about some things, because as Christians we mess up and we make mistakes. And so I want everybody under the sound of my voice, whether you're in this room or whether you're online, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, I thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.